Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the We Are Adult Show, brought to you by Weebs Across America. I'm your host, Sean. Danny, how are you, man?
I'm doing pretty good. I just want to, you know what, man? We need to have a moment of silence.
Let's do it.
One of our people in our small circle of friends, small but distinguished, there's the term, circle of friends, suffered a loss to a Man-Thing's dad.
What happened?
He passed away.
Poor bud.
I know. So he hasn't, look, I guess it's good for him, but he hasn't listened to any of our podcasts for a while. So he told me the other day, he's like, all you guys talk about lately is beer, and I'm like, you're a few episodes behind, aren't you?
I feel like you could make a meme about this. Like, he's just looking at beer and going, why do they talk about beer all the time? And there's, like, a giant anime girl behind him with, like, a hammer that says, like, episode blah, 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 blah.
The last 5 episodes, yes. So, foreshadowing.
Foreshadowing. I was gonna say, I don't know if you saw on Reddit, but so they had the services for Kobe Bryant, and Michael Jordan made a joke about how it was Kobe's fault that he's gonna be he's gonna be another meme. The internet's gonna take pictures of him crying, and he's gonna be all over the internet being the next meme. And like, well, the whole crowd like started laughing.
Well, because there was a while where they had the crying Jordan meme was a thing for a while.
Oh yeah.
And so he's like, you're gonna have that meme go around for another 3 or 5 years.
Yeah, somebody.
I thought I was done with it.
Yeah, I mean, it was pretty funny. Somebody was like, 3 to 5 years? Come on, man. Like, that's nothing. Like, are you doubting us?
Right.
But
did you see what Shaq said?
I did not. I didn't really watch that much. I only saw that part on Reddit. I thought it was kind of cool because, like, everybody kind of, like, there was a good laugh. Like, the kind of lighten the mood. And I think even Kobe's wife, like, even laughed at the joke. So it was, like, I think it was probably one of the best, like, self-inflicted jokes, yeah, to lighten up, like, a very serious moment.
Well, Shaq's made Reddit as well. So I'm surprised you didn't. That's why I'm surprised you
didn't. I must have missed it. I'll have to look for it.
But basically, he was talking about, like, one of the years that they're on the team together, some of the players were going up to Shaq, like, man, Kobe's selfish. He doesn't pass the ball. And Shaq's like, don't worry about it, I'll take care of it. And so he went up to talk to Kobe, like, one-on-one, and he's like, hey, man, some of the guys are saying you need to pass the ball more. He's like, there's no I in team. And Kobe looked at him and goes, yeah, but there's an M and an E in that motherfucker.
That's pretty funny.
But we did also suffer another major loss, a blow to my childhood, and probably yours to a lesser extent, Sean.
Mm-hmm.
We lost Jans Nygaard Knudsen. You don't know the name, but you know the man. The inventor of the Lego minifigure passed away at age 78.
Yeah, I did see that. It's one of those weird things you don't really think about. Because, like, everything was invented, right? Like, nothing ever just kind of was, like, just made. So yeah. It's kind of just like one of those things where you just don't think about it, and then it happens, and then you're just like, wow, like, you know, you just, like, those are around forever, man. They've been around. You just don't think, like, the guy that created it is now gone, and that's how old Legos are.
Right? Well, it's like when people, like, complain about, like, well, they're just making up words, and it's like, that's how every word started. Every word's a made-up word.
Exactly.
Until it gets an Urban Dictionary definition, then it's a real word.
So, Danny, before we start talking about weeb shit, what are you drinking, man?
I'm drinking, it's a fancy beer, Sean.
Fancy?
Yes, its name is Rosé Vesa. It's an estate-grown mixed-culture farmhouse ale with Malbec and Cabernet Franc grapes from the Good Beer Company in Santa Ana.
Ho, ho, ho.
And it says that it's aged upon the grapes. It's a it's a representation of California's terrier feature notes of freshly picked red berries, refreshing sparkling red vino, and tart pink lemonade.
Gotcha.
And it does have a very nice pink color to it. And it is a very refreshing beer. It's a little tart, but not like, you know, when you get like the beer so sour you start to get heartburn.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Or like you like it like strips the enamel off your teeth.
It's just whitening at your teeth.
Yes. By eliminating the top like four layers. But yeah, this is like a very surprisingly drinkable beer. I ended up picking it up at a place that isn't La Bodega, surprisingly. One of my other ones that I go to called Smart Time Liquor.
Mm-hmm.
Just because it's kind of nice to change up because the three of them have different distributors they can kind of acquire beers from.
Nice. Okay, that's pretty cool.
So, like, if I can't get some certain breweries from one place, I can go to a different one and get them there.
Fair enough. I actually went to a new liquor store this past weekend as well to try to see, like, what else. So I found, like, another place locally that's really good. The problem is it's, like, in a shitty location. It's, like, in a really shitty location. Like, it's just a pain in the ass to, like, get in and get out of based like off the busy... Because it's off, like, two busy streets. So it's, like...
Not shitty, like, you can't go there after the sun goes down?
No. It's not, like... It's not one of those out-in-the-country, close-at-5-p.m. kind of places.
No, I was more talking about, like, there's one that I haven't been to yet, but apparently it's, like, in the heart of Colton.
Mm-hmm.
And people that go there are like, yeah, it's probably better if you go, like, during the afternoon.
I got you. No, it's not in a hard place.
It's just a hard place to access.
Yeah. So, honestly, it's better to go a little bit later in the evening after traffic dies down.
Or get your day drinking started by going early in the morning?
I mean, depending on what time they open.
Right. I can't imagine them opening too late because, you know, you can't day drink if you don't start in the morning.
That's why you gotta have stuff at home. You can't be a rookie trying to go to the store.
Right. That is true. If you plan on day drinking or drinking all day drinking, you gotta stock up and plan ahead. It's like living in like North Dakota or those other crazy places where you can't buy alcohol like on Sundays.
On Sunday when the moon is out, when the rooster crows, whatever other things.
Sundays in general, and it's like, but if God didn't want us to drink on Sunday, then why do you make that the day that they show the NFL?
Cheers.
You made it a town council meeting.
Cheers.
Exactly, and like right then and there, pat. You can buy beer on Sundays.
Lawyered.
Exactly. So, on Thursday, Sean, I went to an LA Kings game.
I guess I'm not drinking beer tonight.
You aren't? What are you drinking, Sean? I was bored already.
I felt left out, like you just went straight into the show. You didn't even want to bother asking what I was drinking.
Well, you didn't seem like you were ready to share that information.
I think you just are a terrible co-host.
I thought you were going to say friend, and both of them would have been true. I wouldn't have been able to argue either of those things.
All right.
Sean, what are you drinking?
From Southern California, The Brewery Cherry Pie. It is an imperial stout aged in bourbon barrels with cherry, cinnamon, and natural vanilla flavor added. Coming in at 10.2%.
Sweet. So you have access to the brewery beers.
Yeah, usually they're just a bunch of dusty bottles.
I'm pretty sure I've had that beer.
So it is a canned beer. It's full of sweet, it looks like a little bakery with cherry pies on there and whatnot. It is surprisingly very, very tart. To the point where, like, it kind of hides the fact that you're drinking a stout. Which I think is kind of not very cool. I think I would have liked a more malty, chocolatey, with less, like, cherry notes on it.
Well, I mean, it is supposed to be cherry pie. It's not, like, a cherry stout. So I think they wanted to make it more cherry forward. Because I remember when I had it, I got a lot of cherry and cinnamon. Like, mm-hmm. I could taste the crust.
Yeah, no, I mean, it tastes like... Like, you don't really get any bourbon, and you get a little bit of stout on the back, but it's just like when it initially hits your palate, it's a very tart cherry beer.
Yes. Somebody who's friends with the Hoppyhead Productions Untapped account said that it would be pretty good to, like, have with vanilla ice cream. This would be, like, the perfect, like, stout float beer.
Mm-hmm. I could see that. I mean, I think the creamy vanilla would go well with it.
And like you said, it's a little more tart, so it wouldn't. It's not like a super sweet, like pastry type stout where it's sweet. It's more sour, tart, or whatever from the cherries. So the ice cream would kind of cut into that and maybe make it almost more what you desire of a flavor.
Yeah. No, I agree.
Yeah, but I remember enjoying it. Oh, I forgot to ask you, so I'll ask you on air, Sean. Did you get any random friend requests on Untappd this last week or so?
I haven't got any alerts, so I'm assuming that's a no.
Okay.
But I don't know. I'm checking right now, because I have the power of the internet! The internet!
If only there was a way for us to gather information at the touch of our fingers.
It's okay. Nobody wants to be my friend, so...
It's okay. I know how you feel, man. Nobody wants to be my friend. They want to be friends with Sir Hoppyhead and his monocle, but not really me.
Exactly. I mean, it is a clever logo.
It is.
That's all I have to say about that, broski. Oh, look at all your fucking little Lego people in your picture. You think you're so fucking clever.
I did it in honor of the man, the myth, the legend.
Fair enough. Good job, man. So you were watching men do things besides Russell.
Well, I got some kind of good sad news, man. Like, my go-to going to a game in L.A. spot apparently is no more.
Oh, no. Sadness.
The McKellar downtown Los Angeles location.
Mm-hmm.
And drink some beers and get drunk before the game. And then get some food.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was there on Thursday, and the guy was even telling me, Mitch, the weekend manager, was telling me that, he's like, if you're not doing this weekend, we're having our anniversary party, we got all this stuff planned, it's going to be amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And then apparently Monday morning, all of their employees, like, woke up to an email from their job saying, oh, by the way, we're closed.
Godspeed, motherfuckers!
So it went from anniversary party Saturday to closed on Monday.
What they didn't realize, it was anniversary slash closing party.
It was, yes, exactly. Apparently it was the anniversary.
It was probably a small dot, 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 very, 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 very fine print closing party.
Yes, because the owner sent an email and it says, McKellar downtown Los Angeles has lost money every month since it opened 3 years ago. I've exhausted all my money and credit lines covering payroll, rent, etc. I've been doing everything I can to keep this place open. And when I first saw the news break on Instagram, there was also mentions of a lawsuit, but nobody has figured out what that lawsuit is, or if that's even what's going on, or why that isn't necessarily in this email that this website Eater Los Angeles mm-hmm. obtained. He also owns the San Francisco location, the same guy, so it's pretty interesting.
So did the one in San Francisco close, or just the one down here?
The one in L.A. closed only.
I wonder, was it busy?
every time I've gone there, it was pretty busy. And like, when I got there, it was kind of dead, but literally I was like the second person through the door. By the time I was done eating, at least most of the tables were full. So I don't know if it only fills up like on game nights or what, or people just go in and like have a beer and leave.
That's fair. It's hard to say.
Right. And then like, of course, you know, when the news broke on the Instagrams that they were closing, all the people just jumped out and took the opportunity to shit on the place, talking about it was overpriced and their beer was mediocre at best.
And it's like, yeah, oh, come kick on, guys. Kick them while they're down.
Yeah, like, I mean, granted, like, the beer wasn't cheap. And people, you know, again, people want to be able to pay, like, $5 or less if you go to a brewery. Mm-hmm. But if you're going to a place that's kind of fancy in downtown Los Angeles, like, I didn't mind paying the $8 for a beer that they charged. Because it definitely was a lot cheaper than paying the $20 at the Staples Center.
In comparison, yes.
And it definitely was better than the ones at the Staples Center. Because you got all the craft beers, Golden Road included.
Golden Road. Golden Road.
I went to the Kings game sufficiently drunk. I had to take the Kings game to sober up because I also had to drive myself home. That's also the best reason to go before the game.
Yeah, that's fair. Doesn't that make the game long because you start getting tired as you sober up?
Not necessarily, surprisingly, like this time. I guess I didn't get drunk enough. Maybe if I got drunker, but I also, like I said, I knew I was going to have to drive home, so I kind of kept it just mellowish.
Were you getting crazy in the first period while you were still drunk?
No, but I like...
Turned into a woo girl. Woo! Woo!
My girl drunk. But the reason I went was because one of the podcasts I listened to, The King's Realm, mm-hmm. they got together with this other guy that's on a couple different podcasts, but one of them was an LA Galaxy podcast, and so the Kings were doing their LA Galaxy night.
Gotcha.
And so because we went as a group, I got to like do a couple things that I've never done before, Sean, and all my life since like 1989, mm-hmm. being a Kings. I got to go down and I got to stand in the tunnel. Where the players, when they came out of the locker room, they come out of the locker room right before they skate on the ice. So I got mm-hmm. to, like, be ignored by the players as I was attempting to get, like, a high five or a knuckle bump by them. They just knuckle bumped the kid in front of me and then, like, went over me like you're sticking your hand out of the car when you're driving and the wind hits it.
Gotcha. Okay.
And then afterwards I got to go on the ice and take a group picture with all the Galaxy fans.
Uh-oh. Did you know?
Yes, so I've been on the ice at the Staples Center, so that's pretty cool. And then the best and worst part is because I'm going to a Galaxy game, their home opener. I wanted to learn some of the chants.
Mm-hmm.
And I've learned one of the chants, and now it won't leave my head.
I don't know what to tell you, man.
I don't
what either. Is it? Like, what is it?
So it goes, we love you, we love you, we love you, and where you go, we'll follow, we'll follow. We'll follow because we support LA, 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 and that's the way we like it. We like it. We like it. Whoa, oh, oh. And then you repeat until you want to shoot yourself or your neighbor in the head.
I'm already there.
Right. I've been doing that for almost a week now, Sean. Can imagine how Jody felt this weekend when I would like
kept singing. Jeez.
Yes.
You're a bad person.
I am. But it was pretty cool because, like, before the game, the players, their warm-up looked like the Galaxy jerseys. And then they auctioned them off for a charity.
Mm-hmm.
Because they do that for every team. And so Sunday was actually the Lakers night.
Gotcha.
And all the money, instead of giving it to the Kings charity, they gave it to the Mamba Foundation.
Oh, that's cool.
And so, like... For the Galaxy night, you know, a couple of the jerseys were like $500-$600 or whatever. For the Lakers night, all the jerseys were at least $1,300.
Mm-hmm.
So they made some pretty decent money for Kobe's charity.
Oh, that's cool, man. That's real cool.
It is, man. So, it's you know what's not cool, Sean?
What's not cool, Daniel?
Is being a hypocrite.
Are you a hypocrite?
I'm not a hypocrite.
Hypocrite.
But I don't know if you might have heard the name, but you forgot it. Phoenix Jones. Did you Google it when I put it on the list?
No, I did not.
So basically, Phoenix Jones was from Seattle, and he's the self-proclaimed superhero. And he would like basically go around and stop people from like committing crimes and stuff, and like he got arrested at one point in like 2011 because it was a huge, he claimed it was a huge brawl, and he just like sprayed the whole crowd with pepper spray to get them to stop fighting.
Wow.
But he was like loosely the interpretation for the movie that James Gunn filmed called Super.
Oh, okay.
But he was arrested for doing something he said that people should stop doing. Because he actually retired from being a superhero last year in February. And he said that basically he's like, I felt like I owed people stuff, things, but nobody's changing. Nobody's gotten any better. I'm tired of it. I don't owe them anything. Well, he was arrested for selling cocaine and MDMA.
You know what? Superheroes just got to make a living, man. Society turned their back on him, so he turned his back on society. It's a perfect villain story.
Exactly. Either die a hero or see yourself live long enough to become the cocaine MDMA selling villain.
It happens, man. I don't know what to say.
Well, apparently not does, but did. It did happen. But yeah, he even was like did an interview for like a newspaper or something like that, talking about how like he just wished the drug dealers would like go away or even sell drugs in like different areas. And apparently when he said that, that was because he just wanted to like make his competition go away, I'm guessing.
Exactly. He's just trying to seize the market.
Exactly. If you chase out all your competition, then you don't even have to try that hard anymore.
Exactly. Get all the stonks.
Exactly. I mean, he was so advanced that he even had the undercover cop send money to his Venmo to pay.
Oh man!
I wonder what the business. I wonder what that transaction like was labeled as.
Oh, I don't know. It's hard to say. Probably fun time.
Fun time party. Yeah, I mean, apparently he's not a drug dealer. He's a party supporter. It's cocaine and MDMA, dude. He just wants everyone to have a good time.
Exactly.
So, Sean, I don't know how I feel about this announcement.
Oh boy.
But they announced they're going to make a Borderlands movie with Eli Roth directing.
What? Why? Why do we do this? Do we really need a movie that we want to stop watching midway through because it got too boring?
I mean, unless, of course, you know, like, at some point, like, the siren is hung upside down naked over a bathtub and her blood is being drained into it so some old lady can bathe in it to become young again. I don't know. You think Eli Roth movies are boring, Sean? Or just Borderlands in general? Is that a commentary on Borderlands or Eli Roth?
I feel like that was more of a hit on Borderlands. What movies did Eli do?
And Hostel are his like main ones. And he was also, did you see Inglourious Basterds?
I have not seen those movies.
Well, you don't really watch horror movies. But Inglourious Basterds is a Quentin Tarantino movie with Brad Pitt where they go and like hunt and they try to kill Hitler. And also has Christoph Waltz.
Yeah, I've heard about the movie. I just never watched it.
Well, for the listener that might have seen it, he played the muscle basically in the movie The Bear.
Got you. I don't know. I mean, we'll see what happens. I'm not overly not overly excited for this.
I'm kind of cautiously optimistic, but more optimistic because I don't know, like Marvel's done excellent work with turning horror movie directors into comic book movie directors. Like James Gunn is one of them.
That's fair.
who actually was the director of the movie Super, based on Phoenix, who was loosely based on former self-proclaimed superhero, now drug dealer, Phoenix Jones.
Man, he better start deleting his text messages, or I mean his Twitter feeds.
Oh, yes. Well, he's not going to work for Disney, so he's all right. He works for Randy Pitchford. From what I've heard, Randy Pitchford is a garbage person, and so I guess that won't stop them from, if Eli Roth is also a garbage person, that probably won't stop them from keeping him employed.
Yeah. That's fair.
So, I don't know. If they're just planning on doing one movie, if it's just going to be based on the first game, or if it's just going to be, a whole new story. Because they could also go that route.
Yeah.
And if you get to a point where you don't understand the ending, are you just gonna have to rewind the movie and watch it again until you get it, and then you can watch? Then you can be rewarded watching the ending.
Maybe.
Oh man, but Sean, I did watch a couple movies.
Mm-hmm.
I watched Shaft. Just talk about Shaft. Shut your mouth.
Shaft. It's one of your favorite things, Shafts.
Yes, and talking about him. Well, only if Sam Jackson is involved. Which he was. Mm. Shut your mouth. Just talk about Shaft.
Boom!
So this one, it starts off, set, a while ago, and then he's getting yelled at by his girl, and car's getting shot up, and she's like, I can't do this, we're leaving, and he looks back and his baby's in the backseat. So Shaft's got a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And so fast forward, the kid's out of college and he's working for the FBI or CIA, but as an analyst, not an actual agent.
Mm-hmm.
And one of his friends ends up getting in trouble, and so he has to go reluctantly hunt his dad down that he thought abandoned him when he was a baby. And basically it's just It's boomer millennial humor type stuff, where the kid's like, "How do you keep your office organized?" And he just looks around and there's papers everywhere because Shaft doesn't use a computer.
Yeah, dude, that guy is so old. He's using papers. Ha 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 ha. Hey kid, why don't you pull your boots up by their shoelaces?
Yeah, pretty much. it was very much a lot of the stuff that they already did in the Die Hard with Justin Long, when Oliphant was a hacker that took over everything, and
mm-hmm.
Bruce Willis didn't know anything, and so then they went and found Kevin Smith, and then he made fun of Kevin Smith, and Kevin Smith thought it would be a good idea to make a movie with Bruce Willis, even though that was the worst time he's ever had making a movie.
It happens.
It does, because apparently, just because Bruce Willis agrees to be in your movie doesn't mean he agrees to let you direct him.
You don't tell me what to do, boy. That's pretty much so.
According to Kevin Smith, and he called him Lunchbox at one point, and Dump Truck.
Lunchbox is his name, though. in his movies, though, Jay calls him Lunchbox.
Yeah, well, that's one of the nicknames that you give him, yes.
I think that's pretty clever, though.
Yes.
Oh, man.
And then I watched a better movie, John Wick 3.
How did you like John Wick
3? Dude, the beginning of the movie, it starts off pretty much right after the second one ends.
Got you.
He runs out of the Grand Royal, is the name of the hotel?
Mm-hmm.
Where the assassins aren't supposed to assassin, but he broke the law by assassinating in the no assassin zone. And so the guy was supposed to kill him, the guy that owned was running the hotel was supposed to kill him right away, but gave him an hour head start.
Mm-hmm.
And so you start with it being announced 1 hour till excommunicado. And so he's running, and they actually did a really cool thing with the camera filming, at least the first part, where it felt like everything was kind of enclosed on him. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
It just seemed like he was there, and it just felt like it was crowded, even though he was the only person on the screen. So they very much fed to the feeling of anxiety of him trying to get away.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, each movie, I liked the first one a lot. And my only complaint is, it's just, let's just make another one and make it more ridiculous and over the top.
Yeah.
And so they set up this one, and Keanu Reeves said he would make John Wicks as long as he physically could.
Really?
Yes. And they set this one up to continue the franchise.
Oh, wow.
But my favorite part of the movie was Halle Berry's character. She fought alongside two trained German shepherds.
Mm.
And just watching them work was just a thing of beauty. Like, I mean, I know it's movie magic, but just the way it was filmed, the way, like, they listened to her commands in the movie. You know, like, she would, like, she was, like, working on the guy, and, like, they would kind of go ahead of her and down the person so that the next, each one would pick a person ahead, and she could just go up and shoot while they were on the ground pretty much. Like, so, it was pretty awesome just to watch it work. It was like poetry.
That's pretty cool.
But it would have been nice. It would have been kind of cool to see the franchise end. I don't know what it is with people that, like, it's weird how people in other countries are like, hey, we're making three movies, and there are people in this country are like, cool, tell me three awesome stories. I hear they're like, no, I want to hear more stories. And then when the fourth one comes out, they're like, why didn't they stop at three? Three was the best. Three would have been enough. And it's like, wait, you were like one of the dudes yelling the loudest to make more. I'm confused. And so are you.
Everybody's confused.
Speaking of everybody's confused, Sean, we're going to lose a lot of people here, but we're going on to the weeb portion of the show.
Weeb, weeb, weeb. Weeb. Get a job, weeb. Weeb, weeb. Weeb, weeb.
Oh, I had it and I lost it. There's that term. Oh, neat.
Meek? There'll be a
NEET, the people that, like, choose not to work.
Mm.
Japanese, they have a term for everything. Like,
they do.
And Sean's favorite new word, futanari.
That's your favorite word. Oh, that reminds me, I think episode 7 is out, so I should probably watch that.
Yeah, it stands for, NEET stands for not in education, employment, or training.
Hmm.
It's basically like the story, like that one game we watched where they were addicted to the, that one about being addicted to the MMO.
Mm-hmm.
She was a NEET.
Yeah, she was. That was pretty funny.
It was.
It was a good time.
So I have the list of winners and nominees for the Crunchyroll Awards, Sean.
So every year, Crunchyroll, the streaming site, English is hard, has yearly awards for random things. So best anime, best drama, best this, best that, voice actors, artists, directors. So quite a bit of different of categories. So I'll be definitely interested to see what your opinion is on some of these.
I figured, you know, since we planned so well, Sean, in advance, but this is how well we plan. I figured we could start at the bottom and work our way to the top, where the top of the, unless you couldn't find the page where the nominees are.
Nope, I found it.
All right, so we can work our way to the top where Anime of the Year is. So
yep, pick whichever one you want to do.
So best ending sequence. The nominees were Carol and Tuesday, Fire Force, Kayoka Ishiwaka Sharazuma. This is going to be fun. So I'm going to offend everybody, including myself.
Mm-hmm.
Well, basically, I brought this one up because the two that you watched and one that I watched were nominated. Kaguya Sama Love is War and Vinland Saga, with Love is War winning.
Which is a very weird ending, with it being like some kind of weird, like, World War II dogfighting sequence, and like it has nothing to do with the story. Like, I don't even know if this song is that catchy.
Right. I mean, the artwork is pretty, and even but I kind of almost prefer the opening sequence to the show than the ending sequence.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. Did you think, at least ahead of Vinland Saga, did you think it deserved the win?
Honestly, I don't even remember what Vinland Saga, the ending sequence, is like. So I guess it wasn't very impactful.
Right. Well, because not only was Vinland Saga nominated for best closing sequence, it was also nominated for best opening sequence.
Mm-hmm.
And Did you watch any of the other shows on there? Domestic Girlfriend, Mob Psycho, Promised Neverland?
I have seen a few episodes of The Promised Neverland. That show is fucking creepy as fuck.
That's what I heard.
I need to go back and watch it. It's just a very horror serious anime though. So like it's about basically children that are waiting to be adopted and they're quote unquote getting adopted, and then like at the end of the first episode, shit hits the fan and then you go, what the fuck is going on? And it is a roller coaster of shit.
Right. And I actually had that spoiled on I listened to a podcast talking about the awards today, and so they spoiled that, but I'm not going to spoil it, but I highly recommend like at least checking it out if you're into creepy stuff. But and then for best drama, Promised Neverland was nominated, but Vinland Saga ended up winning, Sean.
Yep. So Fire Force, which was in the other category.
Oh, best opening?
Best opening is recommended from Roy. Fan of me, not fan of the podcast because he's a douche. But basically, this is about these quote-unquote firefighters that basically are... they're almost like demon hunters in a sense. Like these people like turn into like flaming monsters. So they're really out there, like, they're not really firefighters, they're really, like, demon slayers. So it has a pretty interesting twist in it, but I guess that one is also supposed to be pretty good, from what I heard.
I'll check that out. I wonder if they called it Fire Force because Demon Slayer was already taken.
Maybe.
It's kind of like, why do they call it... This old joke about the, you know, marijuana smoking. It's like, why do they call it roach clips? Because pot holder was already taken.
Exactly. but backing, going up to best drama, Vinland Saga on Amazon streaming won best drama. So this is a 24 episode anime, which I think is really cool because I really think animes that have 12 episodes don't get as much story development as some of these with 24. So, like, I think of, like, Attack on Titan Season 1, Season 3. There's, like, a lot of episodes so they could really, like, take their time to tell the story. And that's kind of what I really got from Vinland Saga. I mean, it was kind of predictable what was going to happen. I still have about 5 episodes left, but my beef with the story is it goes away from the main character and it kind of starts focusing like on the overall war that's happening. And as much as it's sad and dramatic and stuff, I feel like it kind of is going a different direction than I thought it was going to overall.
Okay. Yeah, like, I kind of had some of the things, some of it spoiled about it, about how it's very, like,
Viking-themed
and just set, like, it with the Viking code being very important to the back plot of the story.
Yeah, it is kind of more in the Viking era after, like, the Romans have been knocked out of place of power. So it does have some of that in there. But like I said, I mean, it started to go away from the main character because the main character is trying to help like the main villain in the game or in the show for personal reasons. And so it kind of, that's why, you know, he's in there helping, but it's just kind of like, I was really kind of more expecting like, here's event. Revenge, what did revenge get you, like, in overcoming those emotions, and, like, I just expected a very, I guess, a more traditional revenge story than what we're getting, because I don't, like, it started to, like, lose it for me a little bit towards like the end. It's just kind of like, it's starting to feel like, all right, let's just, I just need, it's almost to the point where I'm like, I just need to watch the 4 episodes so I can close the book and say I'm done watching it. Like, that's kind of like how I feel about how drawn out it's starting to kind of get.
So what you're saying, you're almost being a hypocrite there, Sean. Because you said that like 24 episode shows are better than 12 episodes, but now you're complaining that it's dragging out a little bit too long and could probably stand to be a few episodes shorter.
I think for this story, but I think like when I look at my Hero Academy Attack on Titan season 1, who I think won best anime that year it came out, those did a better job of filling out 24 episodes. It feels drawn out, but I just feel like it feels drawn out because I was expecting the revenge story to do something else, not kind of go where it's going.
Right.
Like, it's not like one of the typical recaps where it's like, let's spend five minutes talking about the previous episode, and then let's do a 10-minute flashback into a... it doesn't feel like that kind of filler. It just kind of feels like... I feel like I'm trying to rush it because I'm already to the point of, like, it wasn't what I was expecting it to go, and I'm ready just for it to end.
Okay. And I was going to say, the other benefit of getting a 24-episode show versus 12 is... they usually try to find a way to fit a beach episode in the 24-episode ones more than they do the 12.
I don't know. All the 12-episode animes I've been watching, they sure find a beach episode.
That's just because you're a pervert and watch those kinds of shows.
Moving on. So Fruit Basket's lost for best drama.
Yeah.
I feel like Fruit Baskets is like an old anime, though.
I never watched it, but it just sounds like it's, for some reason it's like that. I could have sworn I've heard that name for more than a year.
Yeah, because I told you to watch it a year ago with Jody. It's about the people that turn into those zodiac animals, and the guy's like a cat, and everybody hates him because he's not really part of the zodiac.
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense. I already hate it. Moving on, best fantasy. So you said you watched a couple episodes of The Promised Neverland. Mm-hmm. Do you think that's a fantasy enough to beat Demon Slayer and Attack on Titan season 3?
I agree, based off what I've seen.
Sweet. But best comedy, before we say the winner, There's a couple shows on here I've watched. One show on here I want to watch, and one of the shows that I've watched, I'm confused why it's here. I don't understand why My Roommate Is a Cat is listed as a comedy.
I didn't really get. I only watched the first episode, so why do you feel? Tell us kind of like why you do you not feel like it should be there?
I mean, there's funny moments, but the overall tone of the show is kind of sad because it's about him dealing with the loss of his parents, and he was always kind of a, even with his, when his parents were alive, he was kind of like a recluse, and like they would go on vacations and he would just rather stay home.
Yeah.
And he only had like one friend, and that was almost like against his will.
Mm-hmm.
His parents and their parents were friends or whatever, so like they would always just kind of come over to his house, and he'd have to entertain the guy, and so they just became friends. Gotcha. That way. And so, and even like they, when they show the cat, they have flashbacks of the cat, like being like, before the cat found the person, he was like on his own, like he was abandoned, and him and his siblings, and trying to like support his younger siblings, and not doing such a great job of it. And there's just a lot of sad stuff in that show with some funny moments.
I don't know. Maybe people just have a sick and twisted
sense of humor.
Yeah. Or it just wasn't sad enough to meet the other dramatic shows.
It's like it's a dramedy, but it's more drama than comedy. Like it's to me, it's like a drama with moments of comedy to relieve the tension, to like make yourself like feel better.
Yeah.
But I did watch Agrasetsu season 2, which I thought I liked the first season better, so I'm kind of glad that didn't win.
Which one?
The Agrasetsu. Agrasetsu, the one that's on Netflix. It's based on.
Oh yeah. I gotcha.
Hello Kitty character.
Okay. Yeah, I gotcha.
One of the shows that was like heavily memed, so I'm surprised you didn't watch it, is the How Heavy Are the Dumbbells You Lift?
Dude, I think it's on my watch list.
Yeah, it's on Hulu.
Oh, it's on Hulu? Oh, no one. Okay, I'll have to. I do want to watch it because, I mean, there was some like random shit I've seen from it. So.
Yes, and the couple clips I've watched of it on YouTube, that's how I kind of came across it, it's pretty funny. So, but the ultimate winner, Love is War. Love is War. Love is War.
Love is War. By a big old macho guy probably singing the song. Opera voice.
Exactly. Oh, man. So, since we're here, I want to go into the breakdown of what I thought of this show, Sean.
Okay.
Break it down. Whoa.
Tell me what you got.
So, first thing, it's like not that important, but it's just an interesting observation. There was the episode where she wanted to walk to school, and she ended up coming across a crying girl that needed help.
Mm-hmm.
So they showed her crossing the street, and one of the cars at the intersection was a Mazda 3.
Was it really?
Yes. So that's like the third anime I've seen where they've had like a Mazda 3 like clearly drawn in the show. I know for sure the other one was the Given, the gay guitar one.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying gay because it's like in a disparaging way. It's like gay because those dudes wanted to like make out with each other.
Yeah.
So it was like Yuri or Yaoi. One of the two.
Danny likes Yuri. Danny likes Yuri.
It was a Yaoi. One of the two I like. The other two I'm okay. I just tolerate. No. But then, so I watched the first couple episodes with my wife. And there was the amount of like internal monologue that the characters have whenever a situation arises.
Mm-hmm.
Is just hilarious. But there was the one where the president was drinking something and the secretary wanted to taste it, and the vice president also wanted to taste it but didn't want to like seem too forward, but the secretary's like took a drink and then she started freaking out because they indirect kissed.
Yes.
And you know, Jody doesn't have as much patience for anime as I do.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of, the indirect kiss is one of those anime things that she just kind of
has
no patience for.
Yeah.
Just stupid. It makes no sense. And I'm like, well, yeah, you're not wrong.
Exactly.
But just, like, the way the characters, like I said, the way they go through this whole mental gymnastics of justifying or trying to get the other person to, like, they want something to happen, but they want the other person to be the one that makes the suggestion or the first move because they don't want to appear that they wanted it.
Yeah. It is pretty funny. You're absolutely right. The monologues get ridiculous. Like, they're the way they, like, play chess with each other over fucking the stupidest shit to try to get the other one to, like, admit something is ridiculous. I thought, what was your take on every episode being, like, a three-part story or like a three mini stories inside it?
I kind of liked it. I didn't mind. Like, I mean, it wasn't like, oh wow, this is the best way of telling a story either, but it just didn't bother me.
It felt like they didn't have to stretch things so they could just tell it how they wanted to, end it, and pick up a different part of the story.
Right. And so, I mean, it's only, what, 12 episodes, like 12 episodes, but
yeah,
it's like more like 36, like just real quick episodes.
Yep, pretty much. I did overall like this anime. I was a little irritated at. Did you finish the anime?
Almost. I was watching an episode while I was waiting for you today. The one I watched today was the one where the sister showed up.
Mm-hmm.
The little sister showed up. So I'm like, I think I'm just a couple away from being done.
Okay. So they did announce.
And it was like the final. Was also one of the stories in that episode.
Okay. Yeah, I like how I feel bad for, like, the treasurer. He's always, like, fucking, like, getting harassed, and especially from the vice president, as far as, like, don't you make his life harder and shit. It's funny. Yeah.
Well, like, because he, like, ruined two of her plans in the beginning, and, he when he finally came up, he's like, she wants to kill me.
Yeah. No, that can't be it.
Right. But my favorite episode, there's a couple of my favorite moments, but my favorite like part was the one where they're talking about the different clubs, and then like the treasurer was like, what clubs are they in? And like the one pink haired girl, the secretary, was in like the board game club, and the vice president is in the archery club. And they're like, well, the treasurer was like, well, they picked the right clubs. And the guy's like, what do you mean? And it's like, well, you know, because, and he kept like over exaggerating how flat the vice president is. Cause if she was in the archery club and had boobs, then it would get in the way. And all of a sudden she appears behind him and he's like trying to get him to stop. And he just is not paying attention. And then he's like, yeah, not like the treasurer who's got huge boobs. I mean, those things got to be at least double D's. Like, and then she appears, and then like he finally realizes like what's going on. The treasurer doesn't look behind him, and then you would think the vice president would be the one to like react, but the secretary just takes out a newspaper, folds it up nicely, wraps tape around it, and then starts beating the crap over the head.
Yeah.
But so then he runs off, and then they're trying to get him to raise funding for their respective clubs.
Mm-hmm.
And the secretary like gives him a Coke, and he's like, "Are you trying to bribe me?" And she's like, "No." And then she starts trying to whistle.
Yeah.
Which they call back in the episode with the finals, where she's like, "Are you studying?" And she's like, "Yes." And he's like, "That's not whistling, and that's not what I meant."
Yeah, the secretary was a very good character to the story. Like, she really kind of broke up like in random tension parts, and just with her like obnoxiousness, and like, you know, she was always like, the vice president would be like, oh, he would never do this because of this, and then like the vice president would come, and then like he would end up doing it, and so she'd be like so pissed at her, like, you betrayed me, like, why? And then I thought the maid was also a really good side character as well.
Right, like the episode where she wanted to walk to school, and like the driver's like, well, the maid will go with you. And like she shot the maid a look, and the maid picked up on it immediately. He's like, well, I'd have to go change, and by the time I did that, she'd be late for school. So, nah, it's cool if she goes by herself. like a real homie.
Exactly. So, Love is War did get a green light for season 2, and it comes out this year, so I think starting in April or May, which means, I'm sorry, Danny, a little bit of spoiler, there's really no real conclusion at the end of season 1, which was kind of I was really upset about the anime, and then I was kind of, like, somewhat okay after I knew that season 2 was coming out this year.
Right, and that's like the hard part about like watching a show like this, where it's like, oh, there's no conclusion. Oh, and also there's no season 2.
Oh my god, dude, I would have been raging.
Right, but there's been shows where that has happened, where people are like, where's season 2?
Go watch the light novel. Ha ha ha.
Yes. You're exactly. Like, go read, and it's like, if I wanted to read like and not look at pictures, then I would have been reading this the whole time. Come on, man.
Technically, you are reading, but it's just a lot more reading.
Yes. Like, reading only.
Exactly.
but they also were nominated for and won Best Couple.
They did. I mean, I don't really know any of the other characters. Attack on Titan Season 3, that's kind of more of a semi-friendship thing, so I definitely felt like their couple was a lot better, so I don't know about the other ones, though.
I mean, I watched Given, and I don't know. I don't think they were a good enough couple. I think being nominated was good enough for that, and then a show that was added to my list to watch, I'll probably start that next, is the Oh Maidens in Your Savage Season. I heard that's supposed to be, one of the guys on the podcast I listened to said that was like his favorite anime. Like, he was devastated they didn't, like, were not nominated for and did not win more awards.
Mm-hmm. What are they on, Funimation, or is it on VRV?
It's on VRV.
Okay, I'll have to save that then.
Yes, and then Best Fight Scene. So there was a Demon Slayer 1, but there was also a fight from Vinland Saga. But you also, did you watch all of Demon Slayer?
I did, but I don't remember which fight scene that is. And the problem is in Vinland Saga, those two fight quite multiple times. So I'm assuming it's the final fight And so I didn't see what that one was. Attack on Titan season 3, Levi versus the Beast. Pretty solid, you know. I think it was a fair fight, and it was a pretty interesting and clever on how that ended up, but I don't really remember the other one. So from Vinland Saga, I think that's like the final fight at the end of the anime, which I haven't seen yet.
Okay. Right, and then best score, like, I didn't really watch any of these. I just brought this up because I'm a little disappointed that Zombieland Saga wasn't nominated, unless that was an older anime, but I could have swore that was new.
Yeah, that's a good question.
But no research.
No research on this one. I mean, I don't know anything about Carolyn Tuesday either, so.
And then, best character design, both Love is War and Vinland Saga were nominated, but neither won.
Yeah.
Best animation, Vinland Saga was nominated, Demon Slayer was nominated, did not win. Attack on Titan Season 3 was Mob Psycho 1.
Yeah, I don't know really anything about Mob Psycho. I know it was nominated for a lot of awards, though.
Right, so, I mean, it must be pretty good. If you want to, like, go to a convention and know what you're talking about, you probably should watch Mob Psycho, because...
Probably.
Up there with Attack on Titan and Demon Slayer as far as, like, cosplay and...
Oh, my God, Demon Slayer's fucking everywhere, man. It's annoying.
Best director, Attack on Titan Season 3...
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. No call-outs. I think Season 3 was better than Season 2, for sure. It definitely got it back on track. I don't know if maybe it was a poor mistake to do Season 2 in 12 episodes or just what, but it really felt like Season 2 dropped off and Season 3 kind of brought it back.
Right, so according to this, there's 6 seasons of Mob Psycho 100, but this is Mob Psycho 102.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if that's like less episodes.
I don't know.
Or like the second season, but yeah, there's like, I don't know. There's a lot of episodes of Mob Psycho. I don't know if I'm ready to watch 50 episodes of something to know a meme.
Fair enough.
But then, best girl. Neither of us watched the show The Winners from Raftalia from The Rising Shield Hero.
I have seen that. I thought I reviewed it already.
Oh, did you? Then I forget. Yes. So, you agree that she was better than my Chika Fujiwara and her whistling attempts? Or the sister from Demon Slayer?
I feel like the problem is like, I mean, the sister... from Demon Slayer, I don't agree with. I mean, she doesn't say anything, and she's just kind of all body. I feel like the problem is you're taking with Chika and Ratilia. You're taking two different really girls. So one's the best comedy, and the other one, Rising the Shield Hero, is more serious and dramatic. And she's really kind of like an anchor point. For the main, and Ratilia is like an anchor point for the main character to be kind of, to not go crazy. So I think like the stories are so different to where I could see why people would be upset that Chika didn't win. But, I mean,
I'm bitchy, Sean.
Yeah.
I'd be crazy.
Yeah. I would say watch it. The Rising Shield Hero, I thought, was a very good anime. It was one of my favorite animes of 2019.
I've seen, like, they've, like, made some statues and different stuff for it, so it can't be that bad.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I think everybody liked her as well because, like, I don't know, she's just, like, a very strong character that kind of sticks up, that puts up with the main character's kind of shit and kind of pushes back. So it's a very different dynamic. So, I mean, I wouldn't be upset if either one took, so... But I guess, what do they say, monster girls are best girls?
Yes. Apparently. Somebody says that, Sean.
I don't know who.
And then for best boy, the show that we both said that we're probably going to watch is the... He was nominated from How Heavy Are the Dumbbells You Lift, but Best Boy is from Demon Slayer.
Mm-hmm. Not really surprised. Character goes through a bunch of terrible things, bounces back. He seems very lovable. I mean, I think the artwork is very close to My Hero Academia a little bit, like how the main character kind of like is drawn. I'm not really surprised. It has a lot of, it's a very popular anime now. So not terribly surprised he won. And honestly, didn't really see any of the other ones, so I couldn't really give you a comparison.
Right. And so, I don't know, did you see how that the awards were decided?
No, I did not.
It's 70% critics and 30% fan vote.
That's interesting.
Yes. So, for best antagonist, it's Isabella from Promised Neverland, but the villain from Vinland Saga antagonist from Vinland Saga was also nominated, but... outside of that, I didn't watch any of these episodes. I don't know about you.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't watch One Punch Man. I'm not up to speed on My Hero Academia. I mean, Isabella is probably like one of the main, like a really tough villain. And then I don't know about the Vinland Saga guy. I think he's not like a super villain because he like does nice things for the main character in a sense. But I mean, I could see why he was nominated.
Right, and it's weird because it's like it's not necessarily best villain, but it's just the one that is a pain in the hero's ass.
Yeah,
you know. And then best protagonist, a show neither of us watched. I don't think Dr. Stone won.
I've only watched a few episodes of it. I mean, he's like a genius kid. He's really clever and smart and uses his brains versus where the enemy or the villain is kind of like all brawn, and like he has a different vision on how the world is going to come out. So not a terrible choice.
Right. And then best protagonist, you said you watched Fruits Baskets and Demon Slayer, right on that one. So do you think that that's a good choice, Dr. Stone winning, or would you have rather seen from Fruits Baskets or Demon Slayer?
No, Dr. Stone.
You think that was a good choice?
Yep.
And then finally, the big one, Sean.
Anime of the year! Yeah!
Demon Slayer.
Demon Slayer.
Savage Season, Vinland Saga, Promised Neverland, Mob Psycho, Carol and Tuesday. And Carol and Tuesday, I guess, is supposed to be pretty good. It's like another, I'm not going to say another, but it's one of those music band type shows.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Like I said, the show that I was, the podcast I listened to, the guy seemed pretty upset that Oh Maidens in Your Savage Season did not win. But...
I mean, I just feel like Demon Slayer had too good of a recipe to build up. I just said, main character has something really bad happen to him. He overcomes it. He seeks revenge. He's like a really good person. Like people say, like you can't trust demons. He says, you know, he works with his demon sister to make her a good guy and not a hungry zombie. The guy that wears a pig helmet is like super ridiculous and funny. So you have just multiple recipes. It's 24 episodes. You get a story of how his history starts, his training, his first couple of bouts with the main villain and trying to like become more of a powerful demon slayer. It was just really set up for success. I mean, Vinland Saga, I think it's better put together than Vinland Saga. And then I guess the only thing is I didn't finish Promised Neverland, and the others I didn't watch, so I couldn't tell you. But I mean, I'm not overly surprised that Demon Slayer won.
Well, especially, I mean, there's a reason why there's like all the memes and all the cosplayers and all the like people that do like anime art,
mm-hmm,
are drawing Demon Slayer art.
Yep.
Because, you know, they're watching the show and getting inspired. So it's not shocking. if you want to check out the nominees or winners yourself, go on Crunchyroll's website. They have it all listed, or you can just Google the Crunchyroll Awards 2020.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty easy. Self-explanatory, I think.
Exactly.
Even though I just explained it.
Fair enough.
So, all right, everybody. Follow us on the Facebook, Instagram, the Twitter.
The Twitter. Tweet, like a birdie.
Read my tweets, or twats, depending on which one it is. Even Stephen Colbert was unsure.
You can follow Danny on that Untapped and see what he's drinking. He posts lots of pretty pictures. And that's at Sir Hoppyhead. And then you can follow me at Dr. Doom 2828.
Yes, give us a review. 5 stars, please. We'll take pity 5 stars. Because apparently if you go to Apple Podcasts, like if you get enough 5-star reviews, then they recommend you to people.
You the people.
Yes, the power to the people, as Chuck D says.
Fair enough.
All right, everybody.
We'll see you next time. Stay fresh.